This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's been 6 weeks since the premiere of Ken Burns' 10-part documentary, The Vietnam War, on PBS. At the time, we talked with veterans who were providing emotional support for men and women decades after they have served, who may be experiencing PTSD and related symptoms after viewing the documentary. In the second half of the show today, we will revisit that conversation. But first, a Lee County community is reportedly living off contaminated well water. For avid listeners of WGCU, the news that there's something wrong with the water in Charleston Park is not really new news, but the problem, according to a recent report in the Fort Myers News Press, persists. Before we get to that reporting, let's go back to the beginning. In the summer of 2014, WGCU's Topher Forges filed the first story about the water problem in Charleston Park. Let's give that a listen.
When Wilhelmina Pontoon wants a glass of water to drink, she takes them from the multiple 5-gallon jugs she buys each week. Pontoon doesn't trust the tap water in Charleston Park, a small community near Alva where about 218 people live according to the census.
You can see like little trash in the water. Like if you put it in a cup, we usually boil it. When we can't go and get some water, then we'll have to boil it.
Pontoon has lived in Charleston Park on and off for most of her life. Her parents were buying water for the family before she picked up the tradition. Suspicion around the look, taste, and color of Charleston Park's drinking water is not just the Pontoon family's concern. It's felt around the neighborhood, and now the government has stepped in. But there is still a struggle to separate what the neighborhood believes and what, if anything, is actually wrong with the water. Jordy Smith is the coordinator for the PACH program, which stands for Protocol for Assessing Community Excellence in Environmental Health in Lee County. The program enters low-income communities and asks residents what are their big issues. PACH began working in Charleston Park last August. Smith passed out surveys this spring, and what he got back surprised him.
For Charleston Park, this is kind of remarkable because you usually don't get this kind of consensus from within a community. But of the survey results we have so far, 95% of the residents are selecting safe drinking water as their number one issue, or one of their top issues.
Meeting basic needs was also on top. Smith suspects old, broken septic tanks are leaking into the shallow well most of the residents use.
Charleston Park, just another little trailer park.
Alice Harris Washington is the resident coordinator for Charleston Park. Homes began replacing mobile homes here in the late 50s. By the early 90s, mobile homes were banned. But
when they took out the mobile homes, they left the wells.
In a community where the median age is 67 and household incomes hover around $29,000 a year, upgrading septic tanks or digging deeper wells may not be possible. Harris Washington recalls one attempt by Lee County to upgrade homes with a water filtration system, but it also required residents to put a 2 or 3 year lien on their homes. Few people took the offer. There's also a small reverse osmosis plant providing water to a little migrant camp, 9 homes in the community center. If there is a problem with the water, it would mean this community has spent decades with unusable drinking water and now has the option with the help of the government to fix it. And Jordy Smith from PACH told me in April there was a way to see if his chief suspect, leaking septic tanks, was really to blame.
Normally, if somebody wants their water supply tested, they can take samples. They can go to our environmental engineering section and get sample containers, take samples of the water, bring it in, and have it tested.
So that's what I did.
So I want you to turn down this street. This is Avenue A. It was on Railroad. This is Avenue A.
I'm in my car with Harris Washington. In the back seat is a brown paper bag filled with little clear bottles. They're water sampling kits I'll take to the environmental engineering office once they're filled. The department will look for coliform and E. coli, both bacterium pointing toward fecal contamination from leaking septic tanks. The plan is to take a sample from homes on almost every street with well water. That's where Harris Washington comes in. She's lived in Charleston Park for 56 years and is a familiar face. She recruits volunteers by rolling down her window.
Hey, what kind of water you got?
I don't know.
You have a straight well like me?
And they let me into their homes. Sometimes the water is cloudy or smelly, and sometimes it just looks like clear water. One of those samples belongs to Willie Christmas, who runs a home for the elderly. Christmas is a Charleston Park lifer. He says water quality is not a big issue here.
I would think the houses need to be improved around here. Maybe, you know, the facility that people can meet, you know, a little bit better. the leadership should be, you know, a little bit more concerned about the community than just hearsay.
I collect 8 samples from across the neighborhood and drop them off to be tested. And the results? They come back negative, meaning no sign of fecal contamination in any of them. During a visit to Charleston Park in May, I asked Jordy Smith, who oversees the PACH program, about the results. He says they don't give a full picture. Continual monitoring would be the only way to know if fecal contamination is a real issue, but he says he isn't planning to test.
At least not on a regular basis. I would like to go back and sample in the rainy season, but that's not the only issue with water quality. There's taste, there's color, there's the aesthetics of the water.
Besides, he says, it could be something else affecting the water, like naturally occurring radon. Either way, Smith says he'll continue to push to figure out a way to change the water systems in Charleston Park. It's just how PACH works.
Regardless of what the results on this test say, the residents are worried about their water supply. And if that's the issue that they pick, that's the issue we work on. And they do pick that issue, so it's their perception.
He suggests expanding the capacity of the reverse osmosis plant, but that would mean residents would have to pay a water bill. In a community where money is so tight, addressing the perception may cost residents real money. Topher Forges, WGCU News.
That was then WGCU reporter Topher Forges, who has since moved on to WNYC in New York. And that was also the last time that WGCU talked about Charleston Park, more than 3 years ago. But now, the News Press has released a series titled Something in the Water, which delves into the ongoing water issues in the small community, where the nearest grocery store is 9 miles away and the average income is shy of $16,000. Apparently that went down in the last 3 years, because as we just heard reported, it was over $20,000 back in 2014. News Press's Janine Zeitlin has followed this story from the very start. She's a national and state award-winning journalist in the byline on each piece in this multi-platform series. She joins us now to talk about her investigation. Janine, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Tim Byrne of Aqua Consultants. He's the Good Samaritan with more than 30 years of industry experience, who's been testing and treating Charleston Park residents' water for free. Tim, thanks for being here.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
We're talking about the well water situation in Charleston Park, and you can join the conversation at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So first, Janine, it's 2017 now. So what's the water situation like in Charleston Park?
It's people are still using water that is dirty, but it's hard to know exactly what the situation is because the last testing that has been done by the health department was around January of 2017. So when a well is contaminated, and Tim might be able to speak to this better, it can go from being contaminated, but then other times of the year it might not be contaminated. So it's not a permanent necessarily condition, but a reoccurring one.
That's okay. True.
So you have a well, and does that depend on like the rain situation?
It absolutely does. Yes. Anytime you change the groundwater effect, you change the underground water effect. You know, I've heard a lot of different theories about septic contamination and things like that. That's just not the problem. In Southwest Florida, we have such a tremendous amount of hydrogen sulfide, sulfur, algae. We've got tannic acid in the water. It's a natural organic compound. Most people call tannins. There's just iron in the water. It's hard as a stone, tons of calcium. And those things together, when they kind of cook and fester inside these well casings, create a bacteria. When the bacteria levels rise, the houses that we treated free of charge back in December of 2016 were positive for coliform. So we went and chlorinated these wells and put them on recirculation systems and got the coliform down. Not that it's not going to return.
But where did the coliform come from? Is that something that developed on its own, or does that get in there from other...
Most times it just kind of comes from itself. I mean, imagine, if you will, a humongous underground ball of water. And when they drill wells, each residential well taps that aquifer. So then it goes up these casings, and inside the casing is a smaller pipe and also a well pump at the bottom of it. So what ends up happening is the water that sits in the casing gets bacteria, and it gets pumped right up and into these houses for these poor people.
And I think part of the problem with finding a solution in Charleston Park as well is that each home is on a different well. So each circumstance is different. Some wells are deeper and are less prone to contamination, at least from bacteria. The shallow wells are more prone to contamination. So from each household, it varies upon the well, how old it is, how well maintained it is, whether it has a reverse osmosis system, which most homes out there do not, which is what would be required to make the water clean enough to drink, according to experts.
Are people, you said that the most recent testing was done in January of 2017, that was testing done by?
The health department.
And how did that come back?
That was four out of the five homes that they tested for bacteria came back positive for total coliform. And I can't recall if it was either in 2015 or 2017 when they did get a hit for E. coli as well in one of the homes.
And so how often does the county go out and check the water?
They don't. It's up to each private well owner to pay for their testing or get testing done on their own. And that's also there's no requirement that a private well owner have their wells tested. There's no one really checking the water quality of private wells either.
Is there any other option out there?
There is. But people aren't connected to it. I think in Topher's piece, you heard a little bit about it. There's a migrant housing that has their own water treatment plant. But they built the water treatment plant outside of Charleston Park because of water quality issues that were identified back into the 80s because a lot of the problems that you'll find in the deeper aquifer have to do with, as Tim mentioned as well, some of the geology, some of the naturally occurring contaminants that are there. And as in 87 or even earlier, there was concern about radionuclides, and that's a carcinogen, enough that the Department of Health suggested that this water plant be built outside of Charleston Park, a mile or so away, because the water quality in the aquifer was not good.
And the one thing that I find very curious is that these nine houses that do have RO water in them, and keep in mind, reverse osmosis is pretty much the absence of everything leaving you water. So that is a bottled water. And when a large reverse osmosis is built, it's enough to feed nine houses. That's a pretty big machine. So they would have to increase the size of the machine, and then they would have to actually, you know, go under the street and start running underground trunk lines to all these houses and then running taps and water meters and everything else. The expense is huge.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be pretty expensive.
It's a lot of money, and, you know, the county doesn't really want to cop to it. The state's not looking to help them. And
the people who live there can't afford it at $16,000.
That's exactly correct. So, you know, one of the things that I had put on the table for them is if we could get a grant or we could get help or some kind of, you know, great Samaritan group that would step in and help, we could actually, my company, Aqua Consultants and Safeway Water, we would actually build a separate filter for each home that would be able to remove and suspend the hydrogen sulfide, the sulfur bacteria, the tannins, the iron, put it through a process, and then we would put like an under sink reverse osmosis system in their kitchens, so at least they could drink fresh bottled water every day of the week, and they would be showering and bathing in safe water.
Would you drink the water that came out of the tap in one of these homes?
Absolutely not. My heart is broken over that water.
What is it like?
It's very murky. It's very thick. It smells terrible, like rotten eggs. That's what the sulfur is. And you can almost know the minute you're drinking that water, this isn't good for me.
Yeah. And you can smell it. And I can tell you from personal experience at a community picnic, someone gave me a cup of iced tea. And I immediately could tell that it wasn't made with filter water. It was a rancid taste kind of that just stuck in my throat. And later I got stomach cramps from it. So,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
A lot of people in this community have had a lot of health issues.
What kind of health issues are we talking about?
Well, there's all kinds of indigestion issues for these people. You know, there's just this litany of cancer issues that's gone out throughout the neighborhood. We've talked to several people out there, and they're like, you know, yeah, my uncle died, or my aunt died, or my mom. And it's just heartbreaking to watch these people talk about their loved ones and knowing that when we're done talking to them, they're going to go right back to the same situation and still drink that water and still put their kids in it in a bath.
Yeah, it's a preventable situation, but I guess I would like to ask, I mean, Janine, in your reporting, is there any way to determine whose responsibility it is to get this water clean?
Well, really, by law, it's the private well owner's responsibility. And I think the question that came up in my reporting is, I mean, are we okay with that as a community, that we have a community that lacks access to clean drinking water? Because really, it's no one's responsibility but the private
well owner.
Person, yeah. But at the same time, there are agencies that exist that provide human services and nonprofits.
Have there been attempts in the last 3 years to correct the problem collectively? Well, I mean, it's been going on for decades, as we've mm-hmm. mentioned. I mean, it's a lifetime. We heard in the story that the woman learned from her parents who have been living there for so long, this is what you do. You just do bottled water. So
a group of agencies came together when I started reporting in 2015, and they got together, like DEP, some people from Department of Health, including Jordy Smith and Julie Boudreau from Department of Human Services, and they got together and tried to talk about, well, is this something we could take on? Because people within the human services community know that it's an issue out there, but they just haven't been able to figure out a fix that works within the governmental structures that for the community.
Yeah, that people are going to be able to afford.
Exactly, yeah.
We have so many assistance programs throughout Lee County and so many subsidies in Lee County that I can't believe for the life of me that there's not some kind of funding or enough grant money to go in there and let's say they do 50 houses. Maybe not all 200 of them, but they do 50 of them. If it works, why wouldn't you continue?
Well, what would be the cost of doing that?
I offered to do each house at pretty much my cost.
Cost of the materials to do it?
The cost of the materials, the media, the filter media that goes in it, and the cost of the ROs. Somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200 I could fix a house, correct. Now, that's something we would probably retail somewhere around $2,000 because we are a for-profit business, but it's not always about money. Sometimes if you're a blessed organization, you got to re-bless those around you. And when I was contacted by the Department of Health and Abdi called me back in December of 2016, I went out there to just sanitize wells for people because he couldn't find anybody to help him. He'd call companies all over the county.
Who is this that called you?
His name is Abdi, and he was from the Department of Health.
Yeah.
Sorry. Excellent guy. He really cared. And he just said, you know, Tim, I'm not getting any help. Nobody wants to help me. All these companies are going to charge us a ton of money. And I said, we'll do it for free.
Yeah.
So we went out and did the whole job for him for free. We donated the man hours, the materials, the chemicals. We recirculated these wells. But
the problem is the well ends up getting recontaminated again.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just can't go out there every 6 months and chlorinate and recirculate a well. What everybody else that is financially able to throughout all of Southwest Florida, they have filtration equipment on their homes.
Yeah.
And I should point out that the county has considered solutions in the past few decades. At one point, they did look into hooking Charleston Park either up to that existing water plant or some other options that would involve getting basically a level of city water, treated water. And in 93, I believe the estimates were like $1 million. So that's, you know, more than 20 years ago. So I you know, at least
that number would be $15-20 million today.
Right. But I should also mention, too, that the county does offer a repair and replacement of well program. And they did have a program back in 2010 where residents could apply to replace their wells in only, I think they received 8 applications and only one new well was drilled. And I think Alice referred to it in Topher's piece that there's a general distrust of government in the community, so that also makes
things tough.
Yeah, it makes.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because sometimes, you know, this is a community that's been feeling, you know, not listened to and not heard. And so I wanted to ask, how was it for you going into that community? How hard did you have to work to gain the residents' trust to tell you their story?
It was very hard. It was one of the most difficult communities that I've worked in terms of gaining trust. We just had to show up and knock on doors a lot. You know, just showing up. I think repeatedly, eventually people start to open up.
Yeah. I was absolutely met with a lot of resistance when I first showed up.
Well, yeah, but I saw you nodding over there during Topher's piece with Mr. Christmas, I think his name. What was his name?
Oh, Willie Christmas.
Willie Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw you over there nodding. So
yeah.
You seem like you've gotten to know a lot of these people.
There's a community guy in there. We call him the mayor, and his name's Johnny. And Johnny was my guide through Charleston Park each time I made a visit there. And he was really the liaison between what I was trying to help them with and what they were going to get. So immediately they thought like, okay, if this guy's here, he's going to cost money.
Yeah, there's got to be a distrust.
There is an absolute distrust because you take a community of people that's been absolutely overlooked for decades and decades, and all of a sudden you go in there and you say, look, I'm here to help. Why would they trust me? Why would they trust anybody?
Yeah.
And so as we went from home to home, we got more and more trust. Johnny's grandma lives in the community. There was a minister that lived on one of the blocks. I think he actually owns the church. He was absolutely not having me on his property. And I said, sir, this doesn't cost you anything. I'm doing it, you know, just to do it for you. And he said, no.
Is there a little bit of denial, like they don't want to know exactly how bad that water is?
I would imagine there's a little.
But you know? I also think that they've been here, so the people who have been there for a long time, you know, have been hearing, like, okay, the county's looking into fixing the water. Like,
yeah, they
I
just
feel
don't
like there's a general,
anymore.
Right. I feel like there's a general, like, okay, this has been a problem since 93.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're happy with the way that the county has provided, like, infrastructure in terms of the playground and other support. And but it's just water, it just seems to be one problem that can't get fixed.
It can't seem to get solved.
At least within the governmental structure.
And so maybe it would be nicer just to not even have the water tested and just think that maybe it'll be okay. And then have anecdotal people turning up sick and you know, like you were mentioning, you had has there been any
and then also
any quantification or studies done as far as illness around there?
No, but there needs to be. I would love to see like a public health agency or a public health group go in and do a survey.
Well, there's
at the
national and international testing that gets done. So, like, you know, the EPA has standards of what is okay and what is not okay.
Yeah, no, but I'm not talking about just testing the water, but actually getting numbers and data as far as illnesses. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned earlier, there have been people that talk about their neighbor who got sick and who had cancer and hearing these people telling these stories. And like you were saying, it just breaks your heart because you know they're just going to go and make ice cubes with that same water.
The biggest problem for me is really when I pull in there, you know, I see 50 kids running around the park and everything else, and I think, you know, you poor little dudes, you're going to take a bath in this. And what a lot of people don't understand about water, it's the most critical thing we put in our body. But it's not always about what we put in our body, it's about what we put on our body. So with their water heaters working, you go in and take a nice hot bath or a hot shower, the water gets to a certain degree that opens up the pores in your skin, and whatever's in that water is now in you. So it's not always absolute. There's absorption. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know what? You're going to get sick. They have stomach issues, indigestion issues. I would imagine they have colon issues. And these things are going to play a part on these kids, and they're going to grow differently. They're going to, you know, live differently. So when they go out into the real world, they might already be half doomed by their water they grew up on.
We've got a comment from Facebook. This is Bobby Alana saying, I know overseas there's a buy-in from the community maintaining wells works best. Okay, I know overseas, if there's a buy-in from the community maintaining wells, it works the best. Have they considered enlisting social workers to brainstorm and help with this both macro and micro problem? Has there been anything with social workers or organizations actually trying to unify the community out there?
Beyond the, I mean, there's a lot of nonprofits out there in involved in other kind of human services, but not on the issue of water. Like the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services have looked in or considered fixes to the water issue, but not beyond what's already been tried.
Have there been any non-governmental? I don't want to say non-governmental organizations, but I mean, you know,
not on the water issue in particular.
Is there anything on the horizon?
I have been one good thing that's come out of the stories is I've been in touch with some people, community leaders, and within the larger community, and they are looking into potential solutions, including like what some of the international nonprofits do in terms of water filters or things like that.
It's interesting that we'd have an international nonprofit helping with something in the United States.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
You know? I mean, usually you're thinking about clean water in Kenya or, you know, overseas in any number of places, but not just, I mean, where is Charleston Park for people who aren't familiar?
Right out on Route 80.
Yeah.
And it's right after the Alva main drag. I think it's called Broadway. It's right up on the right-hand side going east towards LaBelle.
Yeah. It's very rural, Eastleigh County. Like
you can drive past it pretty quick and you've missed it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you blink and you miss it.
And that's one of the challenges, too, I think, for getting nonprofits and just even to get people. It's difficult to tell someone who doesn't have access to a vehicle to go to the health department and down, you know, in Fort Myers to get the testing bottles and then bring them back, which is like a 30-minute drive. So it's like some of the problem is the isolation of the community.
Where do they work? I mean, what do they do? What do the people that live there do?
It depends. Some landscapers, maintenance, school bus drivers, school aides.
Things like that.
Former farm workers.
And the story that Topher did a few years ago said that everybody's kind of in the median age is 67 years old. Is it still kind of an older community? But you were talking about a lot of kids running around.
Well, it seems like a lot of grandkids are running around. So I think that generationally they're, you know, grandma lives there. Now mom and dad live there. The grandkids live there. And it's just a cycle that they keep repeating over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the issue being the mistrust and also the fear of having another bill, another water bill, do the people that you've talked to, do they take into consideration buying all these bottles of water, a bit of a water bill on its own?
Yeah, I mean, I think people do. I don't think the water bill, I don't think you can generalize that everybody doesn't want a water bill. There are people I met who would be okay with a water bill. I think their biggest fear is the assessment that could come from hooking in to a utility.
The two-year easement, yeah.
And when I talked to the county, that was one of the challenges for them in terms of pursuing a grant because they do need to have a level of that the community needs to pay for it to some degree beyond just the water bill.
Have somewhat of a buy-in.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And for them, I mean, a water bill might be, you know, 50, 60, 80 bucks a month for what they're pulling off the water supply, whereas they probably spend that amount now just drinking water.
Yeah, just getting bottled
just
water.
Just getting bottled water and getting it home. They say that, you know, the national average, a family of four spends about $2,500 a year on bottled water. They do calculate your fuel and your time and things like that in it. But bottled water all the time isn't the safest stuff in the world. So, you know, there's a lot of companies that process bottled water, but they send them in a hot semi-truck down here. Once water reaches a certain temperature, it starts to precipitate. It's not the safest stuff. There's leaching of the plastics back into the water. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with bottled water. So my theory has always been, don't buy water, make water. So that's what our reverse osmosis system does, is it takes the worst of water conditions and it gives the purest sample of water you could hope for.
And it sounds like, from what you're telling me, the least expensive option is to put an individual filter on each house.
That's correct.
That's what it sounds like.
It is.
Because doing a complete infrastructure overhaul is going to be in the multi-millions.
Absolutely. And, you know, you could go in here, like I said, maybe $1,200 a house, and you could filter the well water for bathing and cooking and everything else, and then put that simple RO underneath the sink. It's the best situation for them. It's the least expensive situation for them. But to be honest with you, these people need a champion.
And also in terms of other solutions as well, I mean, just having accessibility. People don't have cars. There's no place to buy water in the community.
Yeah, and you said the closest grocery store is 9 miles away?
Yeah, and there is a dollar store 2 miles away, but you don't have even sidewalks, and who wants to,
walk? Well, the smaller the store, the
water's heavy.
Yes.
Well, water's heavy, but if you think about it, the smaller the store, the more expensive the bottled water.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're not
buying
volume.
Because the more they buy in volume, the less money they can charge for it. So if they have to go down the little handy store right on 80, they're going to pay almost double what they're going to pay if they get into town and hit the grocery store.
So you've been going out there and testing and helping to treat these waters, the water for some of the residents out there, the ones that'll let you in.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think you're going to keep on doing that?
Till they stop me. Till I fix their problem or they stop me and kick me off the property.
So you're just going out there doing that for free?
I'm doing it. Yep. Yep. I got kids, man. You know, I got a daughter with 3 kids up in Kentucky. If this was happening to her, I would hope somebody would care.
Yeah. So, Janine, I want to wrap up with you. What is next for the people out there?
Good question.
Still up in the air?
You know, I would really like to see, there are definitely people who are coming forward who want to help. And I think, I've encouraged them to talk to the residents out there to see what we can't determine what the best solution is for them. They need to determine that. And but clean water would also be a good result.
Find someone to help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank our guest, News Press reporter Janine Zeitlin. Great reporting, and also Tim Byrne from Aqua Consultants. Thanks both.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
Coming up, this Saturday is Veterans Day, and it's also been 6 weeks since PBS premiered Ken Burns' 10-part documentary, The Vietnam War, which is re-airing now on PBS. At the time, we talked with veterans who were providing emotional support for men and women decades after they served, who may be experiencing PTSD and related symptoms after viewing the documentary. We'll revisit that conversation next.